You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, December 21st, 2015. You're listening to episode 186. My name is Rob. I'm hanging out with Jason. Howdy.
Howdy. Reading the side of this beer can here is what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. This is a special here. We got a lot to talk about tonight, man. This is going to be a big show. Big show happening. It's going to be a big one, guys.
It's a big one.
Starting with this beer we had in front of us. There's a restaurant and brew pub in downtown Kalamazoo called Gonzo's Big Dog Brewing Company.
Yes, and you're a big fan, right?
I'm a big fan. I love Gonzo's. Gonzo's has good beer. And
it's not the place you call the best, though. That's Tibbs, right?
Tibbs is the best brewery in town, but Gonzo's is really good. Cool. I don't know what I want to say close second because it's tough to judge. There's a lot of good breweries in Kalamazoo.
There are.
Yeah, their food is excellent. Okay, but their standout beer by far is their vanilla porter.
I like vanilla.
Uh-huh.
I like porter.
Right, and I just found out, we went to Tiffany's the other day, is our local favorite liquor store, and saw that they have Gonzo's. Gonzo's is now putting their vanilla porter in cans.
Because that's a hipster thing to do.
It is. I'll tell you right now, okay, this is darn good beer, all right? It's better when you get it on tap at the restaurant.
Oh, of course.
Of course, right? But it's still pretty darn good out of a can. And you've never had it before.
Nope.
Okay, so let's crack these bad boys open.
Let's hope they don't explode.
Okay.
They did not explode.
Yeah. Just smell that aroma first, you know?
Oh, wow.
I know,
that
right?
It's really strong.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? And it's smooth. And
this smells like cream soda.
I know, right?
Like, seriously,
wow,
like cream soda.
It's so good. You don't even know what you're in for.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you should be.
Wow.
I told you.
This tastes like cream soda. Like, I feel like I'm drinking cream soda right now.
It's delicious, right?
That is amazing.
It is one of the best beers I've ever had.
This is one of the best beers I've ever had in Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
Like,
it's excellent.
Like, this is, and I'm not like limiting it to Kalamazoo by saying that, but like, there's a lot of good beer in Kalamazoo.
It's a lot of good beer in Kalamazoo.
Like, when we go to Bell's, which Bell's is, it's not like the best. It's not as amazing as everyone thinks it is.
They have a lot of good beers.
But they have a lot of good beer. Yeah. And they have one recently that I've been in love with called Milch Cafe.
Okay.
Milch Cafe. I think it's Milch Cafe. It's,
okay.
But it's milk coffee.
Sure. Yeah.
What it means. And it's brewed with lactose. And it's really good. Mm. This is way better. So this is still better than that Hell Hath No Fury. That's really good.
Yeah, this is darn good beer.
Yeah,
So now
this is cream soda.
I've been telling you for like more than a year to go to Gonzo's and try this beer and have their food.
I'm on it.
Okay, good.
I'm on it now.
Listen to me. This is why I brought these tonight.
Yeah, I'm on it. So next time I get a babysitter down here, the four of us should go. It'd be great.
We will go to Gonzo's any night.
I bet you would. And
we'll go to Gonzo's.
Super close to your house.
Yeah, we could probably ride our bikes there easy. You know.
Yeah.
It's winter, but theoretically we could.
There's a stretch there that I wouldn't ride my bike
through. Well, I mean, there's not through, you know, there's a bad part of town between us. And
once you get to that corner and then
It's like two blocks.
Ride really fast.
That's the seedy part of Kalamazoo.
It's like the edge. That's the corridor that takes you into the super seedy part
of
Kalamazoo.
If you're along that stretch, if you turn left, you're okay. If you turn right, it's going to get bad.
Yeah, if you turn right.
To be fair, I don't think there have been any murders there in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But yeah.
I don't keep close watch on Kalamazoo crime statistics, but I would have heard about something that's, you know, a
I haven't
blocks
heard
from
about
my house.
Murders around there in a while.
It's been a while.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we got stuff to talk about.
We do. So first big news, unless you want to start off.
I don't know what I'm starting with, so you go.
Okay. First big news. This is the first episode that's going to post going to be going live in a post The Force Awakens world.
Yes.
The
podcast has awakened. Just like the Force.
Well, no, because neither one of us are actually going to go see it this weekend.
Yeah, so when are you going to go see it?
I'll probably go for the following weekend.
I mean, here's the deal. If on Sunday...
Because you're going to be in Florida this weekend.
So surprise, I haven't talked about this on the show. For fear, not that my wife might listen, but that someone might tell my wife who listens.
Yeah.
Or that she actually... My biggest fear was she'd hear us recording it down here.
That's probably more likely.
She's just upstairs.
Yeah.
I surprised her for our 20th anniversary, not our wedding anniversary. We've been married for 13 years, but we've been together for 20 years. And This Thursday, the 17th, is our 20th anniversary. So I, over the last 3 months, have booked a trip to Key West for like a 2-night trip. It's real quick. And I got her time schedule off work. And I, it was like the hardest game I've ever designed. And this is, let me tell you this, integrity aside, like pretend I have no integrity, I will never lie to my wife because it is so much work. Luckily I have integrity. I win it anyways. But let me tell you, going behind your wife's back, super difficult. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know. She just kept scheduling stuff that I would have to secretly reschedule. So like it got to, I bet 30 to 40 people knew about this trip, including people she worked with who I don't have good contact with. And she sees every day.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, when I told her, she did not know. Yeah. She's not that good of an actress. She definitely did not know. She literally sat there like a deer in the headlights for the first 5 minutes. Like, what? Because I told her, I said, Thursday, I want to take you out to a really nice dinner.
Yeah.
For our anniversary. And she's like, okay. You know, and she had a meeting she had to go to. And I'm like, I canceled that. And she's like, oh, that's great. You know? I said, well, it's kind of a hike. And she's like, well, how far of a hike? And I said, she goes, where is it? And I said, well, it's in Key West. And she's like, wait, huh? What?
Yeah.
And then I had to explain it. And she was
That's very cute.
What? It was good. So yeah. It's exciting. We're going to be very tired people, I think. Like, we'll be able to sleep in, which is nice, but it's a quick trip. So
sure. You're down on Wednesday?
Go down Wednesday? We fly down 5:30 a.m. on Thursday.
Thursday. And then you're home on Saturday?
At 10 p.m.
P.m. on Saturday.
So we have two nights and about 3 days total if you include both sides.
Yeah.
And we'll spend, you know, probably 6 to 7 hours of that driving, but it's driving on the overseas highway, which we love road trips. That's, so
gotta be amazing.
And I rented a convertible to make that even more awesome. So
you slime ball.
I know, right?
Oh, you're the worst. So, making every man on the planet look like a
jerk. a couple ladies at work said that their husbands were kind of ticked.
I told Christine about it, and she's like, oh my god, that's so romantic, that's so sweet, don't ever do that to me. Don't you ever do that to me.
I know before traveling your wife gets a little stressed when you guys are trying to plan for traveling, right? So and I can only imagine her.
She'll start thinking about what to pack, you know, a month in advance, and she'll have a big plan, and she'll need time to do laundry and organize. So if I only gave her, you know, 2 or 3 days notice, She would claw my eyes out. She'd be very appreciative, of course, but she would hate me.
Yeah.
For all the way up until we arrived at our destination.
Yeah, and then she'd be like, okay, this is worth it.
But then she'd constantly be second-guessing her packing choices because she didn't have time to prepare. Right,
yeah, that's true. No, and it was funny because everybody was encouraging me that knew was saying, don't tell Steph till Wednesday night after work. And I was like, and then I was like, I'm going to tell her Tuesday. And then I was like, I'm going to tell her Monday. I give her, she had today, and which is Tuesday, and then tomorrow, Wednesday, to finish up at work. And
it's
so,
good.
Anyways, so Star Wars. Yeah.
Star Wars, yeah.
So if I can, I might try and see it on Sunday by myself if I have to.
We went to the Draft House here in town this past weekend to go see the new Bond movie, which was fine.
I heard it was just okay.
It was okay. It was not as good as Skyfall, but it was better than Quantum of Solace. So
that was not good.
Yeah. But it was fine. As long as you don't think about it too hard.
Right.
It was fine. Anyway, but we got there early. So we were sitting at the bar and chatting, and they had a big chalkboard up on the wall that said days till Star Wars, countdown to Star Wars. And I think it was like 5 days left. And we were chatting with the bartender a little bit too. And I pointed at that and I said, so you guys excited about this Star Wars? And he kind of looks back and forth to make sure nobody's around. And he leans down and he goes, we are going to get spanked. So apparently, because it opens on Thursday, right? Apparently every show at our local draft house from Thursday through Sunday is Star Wars, and they're all sold out. There's doing nothing but Star Wars that whole weekend.
So good news, I should be able to go to Celebration Cinema probably.
Yeah, and they're all sold out. And he said we are completely unprepared for this. I mean, some of the people here think they're prepared. They have no idea.
No.
They have no idea. And I don't know what makes him an authority over anybody else.
So this biggest opening weekend ever, I mean, that's pretty much guaranteed.
It like already is, right? With pre-sales?
It's probably pretty close, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I think it's the highest pre-sales ever at this point.
Probably. I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
I have to imagine it'll be biggest opening weekend ever. And unless the movie is really bad, if the movie's really bad, you're looking at top 5 movies grossing of all time.
Sure.
If it's good, it'll take number one, almost guaranteed. I mean,
absolutely.
What is number one right now? Avatar. Avatar.
I think Avatar's still number one.
Avatar, and then
what is after Avatar?
Titanic.
Is it still Titanic number two? I think Star Wars is
the third.
Is the third, yeah.
So
the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you factor in re-release stuff on top of it.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
I think so.
And that's why Star Wars has made so much, because of the re-release.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's... like somebody wrote an article in IO9 that said the last Star Wars movie will come out after you're dead. This is the blanket statement, because there's no reason to not just keep making movies. And, sure. And Disney, from owning Marvel and Pixar, has earned a lot of clout about the fact that they make pretty good movies now.
Yeah.
And they make pretty good movies for nerds.
You know what I'm sick of, though? Star Wars marketing.
Yeah.
Star Wars toys, yeah. Star Wars on everything.
There was somebody posted a picture on Facebook of BB-8, the little droid, on oranges.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. Yeah.
What? Like,
come on, Disney. Well, here's the thing. Seriously.
They don't need to. Like, they could, it could be a marketing, they could market the toys and show some trailers on TV.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Like,
I know.
But right? My guess is that, yeah, I mean, Disney's making bank off these endorsement deals. It's not like Disney's going out and paying these companies to say,
no, these companies are coming in. Yeah,
they're saying, can we please advertise Star Wars?
Okay, sure.
And Disney's like, yeah.
Yeah, sure. We have art. Yeah. Tell me if this is weird, though, okay? I feel a little bit bad saying this.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday, the Independence Day 2 trailer came out, and I was instantly more excited for that than I am for The Force Awakens.
I was, too.
Yeah.
True story. I was giddy when I watched it.
Yeah, I was like, what? Really? I didn't even know they were doing that.
Right.
I had no idea.
You know what else I was...
Jeff Goldblum's back.
Yeah, yeah. And Will Smith is not.
And yeah, that's okay.
And they average... They, so they... In a web tie-in... Mm-hmm. They explain that he died after the first movie, which, calling it now, I bet he's in the movie. Like, seriously. Like, for them to, like, unless they're really annoyed at him, like, you don't think he'll even make a cameo?
No. Because I mean,
from what I heard, Will Smith's actually kind of a dick in real life.
I don't know anything about that. I haven't read that. That very well could be. I think a lot of Hollywood actors and stars are
they
are
offered
jerks.
Him Django Unchained.
Yeah.
He was quoted as saying, I'm not going to do that because I want to be the main... I'm not going to be in a movie if I'm not the lead.
I think we talked about that
before.
Yeah,
and it was like, dude.
I think... See, the thing is, though, I think he... the thing that I read said that he chose to make Suicide Squad movie instead of Independence Day 2.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
I know, right?
But I did read that in the next Batman movie, they're talking about Deadshot actually being one of the main characters. But that could be the tie-in that would make him do that, right?
Maybe.
Like, because they're offering him, this lets him be a villain, which is not a normal thing for him.
That's not a thing he does.
I think it's a thing he won't be good at.
No, he's not good at it.
I don't think he's that great of an actor.
We haven't talked about the newest Batman Superman trailer either.
It's terrible.
It's god awful. Batman, the first hero shot you get of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman together, and Batman's holding a gun?
Yeah, I know, right?
What?
I know.
What?
And he's got machine guns on his car again.
What?
Just like the Tim Burton one.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on. I mean, yeah, Tim Burton, at least he had machine guns in his car, but he wasn't walking around with a rifle.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have a gun. I was like, wait, what?
That's not Batman.
Well, also, I mean, so they basically tell you what happens with the whole movie, right?
Yeah.
So Lex Luthor takes General Zod because he thinks Superman needs to be controlled. So he takes General Zod.
Takes his DNA or
whatever. And he accidentally turns him into Doomsday.
Right.
That's what the trailer basically said that. Spoiler, I'm sorry, but the trailer, like, that
That's what they say. That's the whole plot, right? Batman and Superman, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne don't agree with each other. Turns out Batman and Superman don't agree with each other either. Wah, wah, wah. They have a fight. Then, while they're distracted, Lex Luthor makes Apocalypse. Uh-oh.
You mean Doomsday.
Doomsday, thank you, sorry. Apocalypse is X-Men.
That's the other crappy movie coming out this year.
And then Superman and Batman go to fight Doomsday, and then Wonder Woman shows up.
Right, and then Batman has a shotgun.
Or a rifle or whatever it was.
Whatever it was. It was a plasma cannon.
DC, you don't know. You're just ruining it. You're ruining it.
Well,
Warner.
Is it Michael Bay? No, it's
Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, he's not great.
DC, you're letting Zack Snyder ruin this for you. Well, you let Christopher Nolan ruin Batman last time, so why not let Zack Snyder ruin all of it?
You know, want to know what other trailer I was really excited to see?
Which one?
The new Ninja Turtles one. It's more of the same thing, but I'm going to go to the movies and theater and see that movie.
After seeing the first one on TV and like, kind of enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm actually considering doing it.
Like 100 times more. Like, I went into it thinking it was going to be the worst movie ever, watched it, and really liked it. I mean, I recognized that it had a ton of flaws, and
it's not a
Michael
good movie,
Bay.
But it was fun.
The plot was really stupid.
It was fun.
But man, I'll tell you what, the Bebop and Rocksteady,
They look great.
They do.
They look great.
Yeah. So I'm in. I'm so in.
I still am pissed that the guy from Arrow is Casey Jones.
Casey Jones needs to be like a scruffy dude. Like wiry, you know?
Yeah. See, I don't think he was, whatever he was. Yeah, I don't think he was a good.
He was way better than Stephen Amell is going to be. That's all. He at least was like scruffy looking, right? Like Stephen Amell, when he's scruffy looking, He's like
a heartthrob.
He's like, I'm billionaire, scruffy looking. I'm soap opera model, stuffy looking, you know?
Yeah.
Look at me on this romance novel cover, scruffy looking. So,
oh boy.
Anyways, that's probably enough talk about movies.
We've been talking too much about movies.
So, what are we going to talk about now?
I wanted to relate an experience that I've had with the builders out there.
Everybody get ready for the downhill part of the show.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry about that in advance. I need to sip my beer here before I get into this.
So good.
It's so good, right?
Mm. Cream soda, man. I would tell other people to get this, but you can't because I'm sure it's not sold anywhere but around here.
I don't know how either distribution
is. If you come to Kalamazoo, though, we'll take you out for beer. It'll be great.
Yeah. And the food is excellent. Everybody is good. Okay. So I have been working on actually several projects, okay?
Right.
That are, you know, one is game related, one and a couple other things are not directly related to a game.
Right.
A couple of them are game, whatever. I don't want to get into specifics. Okay. one of the projects that I've been working on, I'm not in a position where I can talk about specifics, but I do want to be clear. I'm not talking about working with, AJ and Van Ryder on Saloon Tycoon. It's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about Playco publishing Epic Monster Tea Party. That's not what I'm talking about here.
To be clear, not what he's talking about.
Right. Okay. All right. So I'm not. So anyway, okay. Enough said on that. Right.
I know who you're talking about.
Right.
And I can say that's not what you're talking about. Right. There's your backup.
So, okay. So I was talking with this individual and who proposed this project to me. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that. Here's, you know, and we negotiated on a bid and a price and terms of the deal. And great. Fantastic. And he said, okay, I'll get a contract put together for you. And I said, yeah, fantastic. Here's the time that I have available to work on your project. I'll get to work on it. I'll deliver it by this deadline. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was all that conversation was originally had in person at Gen Con, actually.
Yep.
And then it was reinforced via email.
Soon after.
Yeah. Right.
Just to work on the timeline there, right?
Yes. Thank you. Right. So discussed at Gen Con, agreed upon. Okay. So I got to work on it before I got the contract because I didn't want to waste any time, you know, because
you had other projects,
other timelines to adhere to.
And this person had given you reason to be confident in this person.
Absolutely. Right. So, okay. So I then did my work that I'm very proud of. And delivered it to the person. I actually delivered it about 2 weeks early, which I was also very proud of.
Yes.
You know what? I work great with deadlines. I think we may have talked about that before.
Yep. And you specifically set your deadline early.
Mm-hmm.
You like to set your deadline before the others involved may set their deadline so that you can be ahead of schedule and get it out the door
that.
So you have can work on other stuff.
Right. Give me a deadline and I'll have it done by the deadline. Don't give me a deadline and you'll never get it.
Right.
Always give me a deadline. Okay.
Right.
So I delivered early and I was very proud of the result that was delivered. And I sent it to the individual and said, here you go. Let me know if you have any comments. You know, I've got some time left in my schedule here. If you have any changes you want, let me know. We can talk about it. I'll do whatever we need to do. Okay. Still did not have a contract. let's see. 2 months passed. In that 2 months, I sent a couple of follow-up emails saying, I haven't heard from you. I haven't gotten any feedback. What's going on? Are you okay? Right. Do you need anything else? You know, I'm getting busy with some other projects or, you know, what's going on? And responses were just, oh yeah, sorry. I'm real busy. I'll get to it. Finally, in the middle of November, let's call it late November, the individual got back to me about that project. And basically, I'm going to kind of simplify this. Basically, expressed that he felt that I did not deliver what we had agreed upon.
Right.
Okay. I went back to our original email conversation and referenced the content of that conversation. Say, this is what I proposed. This is what you asked for. This is my response that I offered, and this is the price we agreed upon. And I feel like that's pretty clear in writing. And he said, well, I had alternate expectations. But if you don't want to meet those expectations, that's fine. Okay. Not, you know what? I get it if you disagree with me. And I said, you know, I want the project, I want the end result to be as good as it can be.
Right.
And I want to give you what you want, but I feel like I already gave you what you want. And if you disagree, then we need to find some kind of middle ground.
Yes.
Okay. He was unwilling to talk about the middle ground. He just wanted to focus on, how I did not give him what he expected, and then kept saying, but it's okay. It's okay that you didn't give me what I wanted.
So trying to be diplomatic on his side.
Yeah, but not...
Or patronizing.
Not, and that's, it's felt patronizing.
Over email, it's hard to...
And gosh, it's so hard to tell by email, right?
Right.
It's so hard to tell by email. So in the end, what we said was, I said, look, you know what? I want this thing to be the best it can possibly be. You know, I believe in it, and I believe in the work that I've given you already. If you need more, I'm happy to do that. But obviously we've missed the target with each other on what I was expected to give you. So before I do anything else, I just want a contract.
Right.
Okay. I want a contract that specifically lays out what you're asking for and what I'm expected to deliver, and then and the agreed upon price to deliver that thing.
Which makes total sense.
I think so. And he in the end he said, okay, you know what? That's great. I'm happy to hear that. Let's do that. I'll get you a contract. I'll get it out right away. And as soon as we get that signed, then I'll get you paid. And I said, fantastic, great. And it's been a week and a half, and I haven't heard from him since.
Which, this person we know is just really bad at responding to stuff.
It's, yeah, I mean, he's a busy guy. He's got a lot going on. And I have a lot of patience. I certainly don't want to be a jerk about anything. So I'm bringing this up to talk to our builders out there. This is not the first time this has happened to me. Okay.
Right.
This, and as a creative, I'll call myself a creative. Okay. As a creative, I'm a creative person, and businesses want to buy creative works from creative people.
Okay, right.
Right. Those two types of people often do not communicate well with each other.
Right.
Because they have different perspectives on projects and on work and on delivery of things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The way you bridge that gap is with a contract.
Right.
A contract.
Things in writing.
A legally binding document that lays out expectations and deliverables in writing. When you don't have a contract that lays that stuff out in detail, everything's open to interpretation and
right.
changing of minds and so on and so forth. So I'm bringing this up to say, because this is what we do on the show, right? We talk about our experiences in
right.
this stuff. Okay. I'm bringing this up to say to builders out there, if you're going to put yourself in this situation, I encourage you to think a lot about your decision-making before you agree to enter into such a deal without a contract.
Right.
Okay. Now I'm not saying that I'm never going to do that again.
Depends on the situation.
Depends on the situation.
Right?
Depends on who I'm working with. But
you're not going to do it again with this person,
right? Yeah, and I will be hesitant to do things without a contract again in the future.
Right, and you
frankly.
Should be.
And that's really for the protection of everybody involved.
Right. And now I want to back up from my own personal experience.
Of course,
the builders need to know that just because you sign a contract doesn't mean you're not going to get hosed. And I mean that in terms of. Just because you sign a contract and have expectations doesn't mean all the parties are going to live up to those expectations.
Of course. Right.
You know, so that's just something to remember. But that said, you need a contract because it protects you. And, you know, understanding that you don't have a lot of recourse sometimes even with a contract because we're dealing with small potatoes here, right?
Yeah.
But that said, at least like in this situation where the guy said, you said, well, the email said this, and he was like, yeah, that's not how I understood it. He could say the same thing about a contract, but it, you know, in this case, he trusts you enough that he's saying, let's sign the contract. I'll pay you because I know that you're going to deliver then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you're asking is, yeah. Hey, pay me. And then, right. then we can talk because
right.
then, you know,
right now it may come back that when he finally sends me a contract that he puts a bunch of expectations in the contract that I did not agree to before.
Right.
In which case that's when you get into contract negotiations.
Or even to say, hey, I'll do that, but this is going to cost this instead of that.
Right.
You know?
Right. So
yeah.
So it's frustrating, it's upsetting, it's stressful. It's especially stressful when I'm at a point now, I expected to have the entire month of December available for me to start working on getting ready for Unpub, which is kind of the other thing we want to talk about
right,
here today.
Right.
But I'm now still wrapped up in two other projects that were, well, one that I thought I'd finished, you know, in the middle of September, another one that I thought was going to be finished in the end of November.
Right.
But because of delays and situations, it's still on my plate. And that's also frustrating. I agreed to work on the project and I need to see it through.
Right.
So,
yeah. So that said, I'm currently working on a video project on the side with no contract because I know the guy and I'm 100% confident that he will not screw me over.
Sure.
And when he basically approached it like this. He said, "What's this going to cost?" And in writing, I said, "It's going to cost this likely." And he replied and said, "Done. Hey, if it's going to cost more, just let me know. No big deal." Like that was his, okay. So I said,
sure.
Okay.
You have it in writing though.
Sure enough. Right. And sure enough, I came back to him because I went to the guy who's doing the voiceover work for me. And, he's like, "Hey man, I quoted this a while back. My prices have changed. I really would like to bump this price a little bit." And I was like, "Not a problem." And I went back to him and said, "Hey, the price is going up." And he's like, "Sure. No problem."
That's great.
Done.
You're lucky.
So,
you're lucky.
But I'm doing that for a local business, who understands the value. What's been great out of this is I'm doing this, not to be too much of a tangent, but I'm doing this project because the business they run, it's a manual labor business, but they've automated a lot of the stuff and they're doing something that most people think is just like super like, oh, you do this. It's no big deal. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess again, so they do professional restoration, fabric restoration and cleaning. So people are basically like, "Oh, so you have some washing machines."
Yeah.
No, they have this incredible facility that's insane with all these crazy automated things that happen and these lines that your clothes come out and these screwdrives they're spinning on and it's crazy. He said, "People just don't understand my business, Jason, you know, and so I need them to understand this because that'll help us get more clients." It's great. So I said, "Hey, you want me to just write this voiceover for you?" And I said, "I'll need some help, but I said, I can at least get it on paper." "Oh, no, we'll do it. It won't take much. We'll do it." 3 weeks later, he finally comes to me and says, "Oh man, we're trying really hard. Writing a voiceover is hard." He's like, "This video takes way more than we thought." And I said, "See? And now we understand why you need a video to show people what you want to do."
Yeah, right.
Because people don't realize how stinking hard what I'm doing is, you know? And I don't think it's hard, but I understand for other people. Like when somebody says, "What's the price on this?" And I quote, "It's going to take me 40 to 80 hours of editing and work time." Mm-hmm. People think I'm crazy. And I'm like, but I'm not. Because that's how long it's going to take.
Sure, right.
So,
yeah, I mean, if you want this to look like somebody's crappy wedding video, sure, I can do that in 20 minutes.
Right. So but, even that would take longer.
But, well, yeah.
But still, yeah.
I mean, can do this in a day. But
I mean, but, you know, when you want something professional and you want it to look professional, you know, and.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, Unpub.
Yeah, right. So not to get too much of a downer there. So Unpub. So we wanted to start doing some Unpub updates as we get ready for Unpub, which is in April. Do you remember the date?
It's in early April, isn't it?
Early April. I don't remember exactly.
It's not the weekend of the 26th and 27th. I know that.
Because that's when you'll be in Florida.
That's when I'll be in Florida for work.
I'm still not sure if I'm going or not.
Right.
Probably not.
You could if you wanted to.
You just have
to say, "I want to go," and you'll be able to go.
I don't want to go.
To a working event that has nighttime parties where they take us to places like Universal Studios for free.
I
don't know why you'd want to go to that. So where vendors buy you free drinks and all sorts of free stuff.
Yeah, I kind of don't care.
Yeah.
So on the lead up to April, we want to periodically check in with you guys about what we're doing to get ready for Unpub.
So the hope is to do this 4 times. This month, January, February, and March.
Right.
To kind of keep us accountable for what we're working on.
Frankly, that's the best thing for me personally.
Yeah. And also because Unpub always sneaks up on me. I always try and set a plan early and then I fail at that plan. But knowing we were going to record this, I actually moved on some of my Unpubs.
Oh, good.
Because I needed to. So,
yeah.
And you didn't because you haven't had hardly any time.
Because, right.
So the idea is we'll talk about what games we're bringing and where we're at with those games and how playtesting is going and that sort of thing and what we're doing to get ready. So currently I've selected my games. I don't know. Have you selected your games?
I decided a long time ago that I'm only going to bring one game.
Right.
I mean, I'll bring whatever other prototypes I have to hang around with, but...
Right.
But my plan while I'm at the table, because we got tag tables, that's what we ended up with, which sucks, but whatever. I'm only going to bring one game, and my plan right now is to bring Smithereens.
Right.
But I'm saying that having not finished the design and not even made a proto yet.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of work to do.
I have a lot. I have too much work to do.
I can't narrow it down to one game. And I want to bring a game that needs feedback. So I've got my game right now that has no name, that is about the river, that is, that game isn't, I'm not going to say the game is finished, right? But that game needs, I mean,
I think that game's done.
It's mostly done.
I think all that game needs is for you to settle on a theme.
Yeah. Which has been really freaking hard. Yeah. So
yeah,
which makes me mad because theme is so easy for me.
Usually it is. Yeah.
The problem is the design is so simple. And mm-hmm. I mean, I feel elegant that I need to give it a theme that's going to make it attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I could get some decent publisher attention with this.
Yeah.
Based on the games it reminds me of and mm-hmm. all the feedback I've gotten, mm-hmm. And how easy it'll be to produce because mm-hmm. it's just some cards and like four cubes and
yeah,
that's it. Like some yeah. cards and four cubes. Right. That's yeah. the entire game.
Yeah.
So I really want to find a theme that meets my happiness level of like, I like themes that are a little offbeat, but still makes it really genre friendly to multiple publishers. And I understand experienced game designers will tell me, hey, Jason, they'll just put a new theme out if they want. I 100% believe that.
Mm-hmm. Still want to give the best presentation.
But yeah, I still want to start with something that doesn't immediately turn people off, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways, so that game, I don't want a bunch of feedback on that game. I also don't want a bunch of feedback on Gunslinging Ramblers. My goal of Gunslinging Ramblers here is to pitch it to some publishers, and I'm setting up some meetings for that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Some pals have helped me out to get some meetings with some people, hopefully. Yeah. So that's my goal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to pick two games that I was going to actually work on to show there. So
yeah.
The first one, based on how well it went at Grand Con, is my Mario Kart game.
Oh, right.
Which
yeah.
has no theme and only the original prototype I made, and the rules are mostly in my head. So that's terrifying. but I'm the nice thing is I could go back and listen to the episode
yeah,
so right. that I could get the rules out yeah. of that. So
boy,
that's
it's great that we do this podcast.
Isn't it?
It's, yeah.
It's man. Really it's really sweet for that. I thought I was going to have to do that on the other game. So that game I've made zero progress on. I'm actually looking at it right now. It's on my shelf over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's never come out of the box since I got home.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to do that soon, but I wanted to get the other game that hadn't even been started.
Mm-hmm.
And that other game is Shipwreck Shore,
sure.
Which is the game where you've got dice.
Mm-hmm.
You have five custom dice. They're all the same, but
mm-hmm.
and you've got a deck of cards, which I've now shrunk down to a lot smaller. And the whole idea of the game is you're seafarers who've been your ship has crashed, like it's like the 1700s or something, I don't know, whatever, your ship crashed on this island, but the island is just shipwrecks, right?
Yeah.
And there's a sea serpent going around in there.
You pitched that a month or so ago.
Yeah.
So, early episodes 180s or right. late 170s, something like that.
So I made a prototype,
yeah,
played it with my wife, and the game was way too slow. So it was fun but too slow. And there was some, like, okay. So when you roll the dice, you have some different options. You can, if you get sea serpents, they lock, right? Like, you're stuck with the sea serpent dice. They're just wasted.
Yeah.
But, that said, if you get more than one of them, you can use them to steal from your opponents, right?
Got it, yeah.
There's a one that allows you to also give back, like, to give away, either give an opponent one of my unbuilt ship pieces, or give it back to the pile. Well, giving it back to the pile turned out to be really annoying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my wife had an idea, which was to reduce the number of cards in the game. So I actually cut the cards by 18. So it's like a 54 card game now, which is wow. really thin.
Yeah.
And six of those 54 cards are sea serpent cards. So like there's only 48 cards you can even build with. So in a 4-player game, that economy is really tight.
Yeah.
But what that means is stealing from people and sticking people with crappy cards way better.
Yeah.
So that's my hope, because I want the game to play in like 15 minutes, 20 sure. tops.
Sure.
And also to force where like on this turn, I really want to draw cards, but I have to build because all my cards are full. Unless I get a give back card, I can't get rid of a card.
Right.
So the idea is you can give a card to another opponent or you can just pitch it out of the game.
Oh, out of the game completely.
See, that's when I say that out loud, it doesn't sound as good as it did in my head. So that might be a bad idea because the economy is so small already.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. Having not played it, I'm not sure.
Right.
I can't judge.
I'll have to test it out.
Yeah,
in a 4-player game, that could get hairy if people keep rolling it and pitching cards.
Yeah.
But the fact is, the game is still going to end as planned because the game ends when the sea serpent comes out. So the more cards you pitch, the more cards you draw,
yeah.
the faster the game ends.
Yeah.
So maybe you only score 10 points to win the game. You know, when in a bigger game, like my wife and I think my wife scored 50 and I scored 40.
Okay.
But that's okay because, yeah. you know, that's mm-hmm. how you're doing the game. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah. So I'm happy with the first playtest went way better than I thought. It just was like, wow, this is kind of boring because I'd like it to move faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
Right on. Yeah. Obviously, I had a lot of success at Unpup last year. But both of the games that I brought with me last year to Unpub were games that I've been working on already for more than a year.
Right.
When I go this year, I will have been working on the one and only game that I'm bringing. I will have been working on that for three and a half months.
Right.
Which is not, it's probably almost certainly not enough time for me to get into a place where I think a publisher might be interested in it.
Depends on the game.
Depends on the game, but I'm not going to.
How much time did I really put into that River game? And we feel like it's publisher.
Right? Well, true. That's true. Yeah. I mean, it depends entirely on the game. You're right, right. You're right. But even with Tea Party, which is a pretty small game. Well, I mean, to be fair, Tea Party, I figure, had been done for about 8 months before
the
that.
The problem with Tea Party was we kept trying to make it bigger. Everyone was like, Rob, add this, add that. Right, and in the end, it didn't need any of that.
Right. Yeah. So, Slim Tycoon was actively in development, like constant, and had a ton of changes and had been going through a lot of changes for more than a year before that. Anyway, so Smithereens will be a smaller game than Slim Tycoon, of course, but will be bigger than Tea Party, so I don't know what to expect. In the end, I'm not expecting to pitch that to a publisher at the show. My goal with that will be simply to get lots of testing, lots of feedback.
So that for Gen Con, you'll be ready to hopefully show that to publishers.
Yeah, we'll see
how that goes. That's my same goal with, you know, with my two games. So
so that's the hope for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our plan for, that's our plan for Gen Con and for stuff.
Unpub.
Sorry. Unpub and then Gen Con eventually. Yeah. We're a little short on time here, so we've got some questions we can go over.
Okay.
So I thought we could do the questions today.
Yeah, sure.
And
we're not going to pitch anything tonight.
Is that okay?
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. So,
sorry, builders. Hope that's okay.
Yes.
I feel pretty digital about it. I hope you do too.
All right.
I'm going to keep saying digital.
I know.
I'm going to see. I love it.
Beat it to the ground. I love it.
I love it. It's nothing beating. I'm honoring it. It's a wonderful expression.
Okay. So none of that is
good.
Sorry,
go ahead.
We have some tweets we could read.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we had a good BTG rumor.
We did.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, we owe a couple people some stuff for that. They wanted to wait till after Grand Con, and then I totally forgot.
Yeah, good
so,
job.
Oh, yay, because I'm waiting for you to put it on the website so that I can buy it.
Oh, sorry.
I did send you a text about that like you asked me to. Yeah, so, anyways.
I'm a butthead. I don't know. I'm having trouble getting my phone to work here. I'll let you handle it.
I'm pulling up the website first.
Okay.
We got a couple comments I want to read. And then a couple tweets.
Oh, man. I wish that I could have another one of these beers. Maybe I'll stop at Tiffany's on the way home.
So Robin said to us, I'd like to point out that the Mysterious Package Company, the place that I think sounds awesome, has a $25 offering for those who just like the secret history and mystery part of it. So
what? So for $25 you just get a little bit of history?
Yeah, secret history and a puzzle thing. So
So
I don't know. I don't know. I'll check it out maybe.
Yeah.
Also, this reality game seems more doable as a one-off or annual event that was designed for mass market along the lines of the game Street Wars, which you can find out more about streetwars.net. Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea, saying like that's the type of game that you could do like as a big event for a con.
Okay. And, I get you. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah.
Also, Tom Gerganis.
Hi, Tom.
Sent us a thing. He said, hey, guys, I'm in the middle of the episode, but wanted to drop a note about Jason's game Reality. So, hey, check it out.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool and would make a neat con game. Hey. I know there are some con games similar, but it would be pretty cool to set something up with con organizers to play this. Mystery and intrigue. The Bridges game sounds neat so far. I like the player on each side of the board idea, where you're trying to cross the river.
Yep.
It sounds a bit like a GIPF series game. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
With some theme. With a theme to it. Neat. Off to listen to the rest. Y'all are so digital. I know, right? So
super digital.
All right. So tweet time.
Tweet it up.
Let's tweet it up.
Should we get some Twitter like theme song? Time for tweets on BTG. Ow!
No.
No? You don't like that?
First, a sweet tweet from Ben Pinchback. I might be slow, but the show does not seem to be on the site. Hey, it wasn't. Thanks for that.
Did you post late?
It was Sunday night. I literally did everything, posted the thing, but didn't hit post on the episode.
Good job.
The worst was I went to the website and played the episode to make sure it worked, but it was not the episode.
Well, they all had the same intro, so.
I got an email, a tweet from Seth Jaffe. Mm-hmm. Listening to your latest pitch, which was Dungeon Curmudgeons,
mm-hmm.
Sounds like a goofily themed Tiny Epic Defenders. And I replied to him, hey, I've never played Tiny Epic Defenders, but now I want to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Sounds like a fun game.
Mr. Matthew on Twitter said, Ari Dungeon Curmudgeons, you could treat the characters like the Eldritch Horror when one dies. What was that?
That was my wedding ring that I was playing with and I just dropped it. Sorry.
You could treat it like Eldritch Horror. When one dies, another is drawn into play. You could also prevent a random character feeling about wanting to act with that character, but just not drawing them up in time. And then he finally says, obviously only controllable characters on the board. There's obviously only controllable characters on the board at any given time, but I still really like the Fountain of Youth idea where they die, but you have to take them to Fountain of Youth and then they're rejuvenated.
Yeah.
And then, so that's me. And I think I have some podcast ones too. We were busy on the Twitter.
Yeah.
The original theme for this is from Senor Bob. The original theme for the Saloon Tycoon was stacking giant turtles to build the best monument to the turtle gods. Hashtag BTG rulers.
I'm shocked that he knew that. I thought that was top secret.
I thought it was too.
I can't imagine how that rumor made it out of just between you and us. Frankly, I suspect you of leaking that, but
if it wasn't me.
I worship the turtle god. I mean, there was a time when I was all about the totalitarian peace of the space frogs, but then the Kluglog is the
totalitarian peace.
Yes,
that's a thing.
Kluglog was the lord of the space frogs, and but then I moved on to the turtles, the turtle great turtle god. He's a benevolent dictator.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
Turtles are known for that.
Yeah.
So,
if you guys want to know more about the totalitarian peace of the space frogs, let me know. I know a guy who can tell you all about it.
Yes.
Don't even get me started on the Solomon Islands.
That's true. Nate Darty says, I'd love to play a P&P of that new Smithereens if you need a playtester. Also, I'd be willing to spill beer all over it. I added that last part, but it goes without saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually... Well, kid spit up.
Hey, if you're gonna P&P it, you can spill as much beer on it as you want. It's your copy. I need to finish making a prototype of Smithereens, and I needed to get it to a point where I'm comfortable showing it to other people to get more feedback. I'd rather go through a few revisions before I do that. But it will be available if I feel like I can get it to that point. Yeah. Oh, by the way, so the Saloon Tycoon P&P is gone now. You cannot get that from our website anymore. So if you follow the link on BGG that someone set up, it's not there anymore. There was an announcement recently. There was a BGG preview of Saloon Tycoon, and in that AJ said that he's expecting it to hit Kickstarter in the first quarter of 2016.
Oh, cool.
So that was wonderful news. I'm very happy to hear that.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Rumors from Ben Pinchback. According to Poorly Designed, when Jason Slingerland pitches a game, you really can go wrong. Hashtag BTG rumors.
Happens all the time.
It does.
I would say 60% of the time. It's terrible. It goes all wrong. You know what? I was looking back through some of our old episodes, looking at show notes that you made and games that, and very often in the show notes, when you're posting those on the website, you say things like, Jason tried to pitch.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I also
and failed.
Frequently insult you in the opening line.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you noticed that.
I did notice that.
I pretty consistently do that. Yeah, it's just
fine. It's great.
So
I love it.
I always wondered if you paid attention or not. Like just last week, you did that voice. And I was like, that voice, please stop doing that voice.
Yeah.
And that's what I put in the notes.
Hey. So, that's fine. It's good. It's part of the fun.
Yeah. Easter eggs for the co-host.
If anybody ever goes to look at our show notes, ever.
They'll be like, what is that about?
Right.
Also, one last tweet from Nate Darty. Better theme for the bridge game. The floor is lava.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
That is good. To which I replied, and very few of you will get this, but that's okay because I'm cooler than you. To which I replied, 1, 2, 3, JFK. That is from a show, and if you figure that out.
Oh, that's from that show that you told me about that I haven't seen.
Right.
Yeah. Is that, oh, crap.
It's not good. You don't want to say it.
I don't
see
want to
if they can
it, right.
figure it out.
Right, yeah. So, it's from a TV show.
It is from a TV show, yeah. And it's not even that funny of a TV show. At the time, it was really funny, and it went downhill. But at the time, it was really funny, and I really liked it. But anyways.
Not so much anymore. All right, is that enough for us tonight?
I think that's enough for us tonight.
All right.
Next week, we've got a special episode coming up.
It's the last episode of the year.
Yeah, so you might know what that means. If not, you'll find out next week.
Right on the week. Oh my gosh. So thanks everybody for listening to the show. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can give us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at podcastbtg. Jason's at jslingerland. I'm at poorly_design. You can like us on Facebook and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Call your Google Voice number at 770-TOP-BTG. Tweet at us using the hashtag BTG rumors and tell nasty lies. It's probably too late for you to get a copy of Waterboon Washout with your crazy awesome deal because Christmas is just a few days
away. I think
I'm
going to leave it there for another month or so. Okay. Sold some copies. So
into the new year. That's
into the new year.
I don't care.
Remember, if you have any requests, questions for Rob in the email to include a contract.
That's right. I will not do anything else on 7 contract signed by all parties and notarized.
Excellent.
Guaranteed. Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Time for tweets on BTG. Ow!